Hi, Calvin. We were just in the middle of connecting energies of boson and photons to steady notes and changing notes when the computer connection just collapsed. So this is where we need to pick it up a bit from where we were. And in the meanwhile, you've been able to connect to a visual image as well. So you were just talking about the relationship between the notes and the changing notes, which would be the steady velocity or the acceleration and the deceleration. It would be the circle and the expanding or the contracting spiral. It would be a health or the capacity for adaptation in the environment. And so there's a lot of connections that are being made in these images that you now have discussed. Then the connection fell off just after you have explained that all of this connects back to the quantum level of the boson, which is the fundamental unit of change, and the photon, which is the carrier wave of continuity in that sense. So that would be the changing note and the steady note, or the spiral and the circle in a way. And then the connection just went out. You also have the images, which you already described, that everybody can now build from the templates which already were added to the conversation the previous time. And you said we were just at the last bit of the rounding off of the session, so it would be really nice to do that with the video images to conclude what you were just saying before the connection collapsed.
Yeah, all I was getting to was that if you were to pick a color or a note and look at that note at any of the fields that radiate out, we've only got six, but you could have 360 or 36 million, whatever, they'd all be at the same distance from the center, so they'd form a circle. So far as spectral colors, or so far as musical notes, they all form a circle at the same distance. And even if you look at those same fields, as we've done here with the models, and look at them in longitudinal force sense instead of a transverse boson sense, the longitudinal force vector would be the same thing. Around there is where the fifth one would be on the previous. So you'd have a specific amount of force. So if it radiates, say you play an A note, it radiates out, it's got enough force to reach here with a certain value, or the wavelength coincides with that point, purely from the amount of energy in that field. So with both of them, what we're actually now showing, because these are both the same energy fields, all we're doing is showing the momenta in different ways, whether it's transverse or longitudinal. So whether we're talking a spectral color or a musical note, or the linear force or the linear momentum of a scalar energy, makes no difference. So whether it's physics or music, we can now use the same geometry to relate them. And if you increase the energy, because this energy produces a specific force or velocity, if you increase the energy, you're increasing the frequency, increasing the frequency, and you decrease the wavelength, the physical size of the quanta. We discussed that in the previous discussion, where you could see on the slides, as you add energy, those triangles physically get smaller, the wavelength contracts, as it's said in physics. And as you release the energy, there's more room for the triangles, so they spread out. The wavelength gets longer. So adding and reducing energy changes the linear momentum of the system, which then produces either convergent spirals or divergent spirals, implosions or explosions. And if you don't look at the spirals, and if you look sideways just at the energy levels, that spiraling in from one energy level to the other is just moving up and down that ascending or descending the ladder that we spoke of at the beginning of the discussion. So you've got the ladder rungs, which is the transverse. You've got the linear momentum, the force vectors. They're all tied together with this geometry. So it doesn't matter whether you're talking physics, music, or biology. They're all related because you can replace the center. The source points here may not be a music. They might be a musical instrument for music. They might be an atom for spectral lines, say hydrogen. And they could easily be, just as easily be a complex organic molecule with the BEM fields. All these fields are the same. We've only got six. There could be, in reality, there's a lot more. And as I said, this hexagonal shape that's produced by the six, when you've got 36 million of them pointing outwards, in fact becomes a circular geometry, a spherical geometry, more appropriately, so that. And that's what they measure 9 times out of 10, is these force vectors, the radiant energy pouring out of a particle or out of an atom. They measure the force vectors. They follow the force vectors back to the source point. And they say it all converges to this source point, but they've never known what the source points look like. Obviously, in the physics side of things, tetrionics shows the actual charge, quantum charge topologies of every conceivable atom and molecule that you can think of. So in short, we can now through these models and through the geometric understanding, we can explain the interoctaves going up and down the scales as a convergent or ascending descending energy level moving up and down the equilateral triangle. We've explained the ratios, the commas, and the other basic ratios that you find. We showed it in the previous discussion where 2 is to 3, 3 is to 4, etc. All that sort of ratio just forms triangles within triangles. So all the pentatonic, the chromatic scales, the diatonic, they can all be represented using this geometry, the equilateral triangle. And the equilateral triangle itself gives us a constant that we can use to relate spectral lines in physics to musical notes in music theory. And that's where I'll pull it up. So we've related all those things. We've opened the door so far as creating and showing where all these ratios lie, what produces them, all these complex nonlinear arrangements. And non-linear energy levels of the notes themselves, they all stem from these geometries. So now that we've done that, the hard bit begins. The easy bit was creating this. The hard bit's going through that triangle in the previous discussion we had, the differentials, and matching up the differentials to the musical scales so that the ratios line up. Once we do that, then we can use that as a Rosetta Stone. We can use the differentials to directly relate colors to musical notes, irrespective of where they are. Because just as the musical spectrum of notes goes on in both directions, even though we can't hear it, so does the visual spectrum. The only difference is that they're all part of the same ranging. The difference being is the speed of light versus the speed of sound, the frequency wavelength ratio of light or musical of colors compared to musical notes. So now we have the Apollo constant, we have the geometry, we have the ratios, etc. So hopefully you can see how it all ties back in now.
Let me just finalize the sentence I was just typing here, which basically says the geometry, the Apollo constant connects all. It is very powerful and clear what you've been doing this time. In the previous episodes, you've already built up a fundamental connection between music and physics. The connection lies in the frequencies of music, with the master music's are considered at the level of the equivalence of the cell cycles. By looking at it from the perspective of tetrionics, had that now becomes connected to the fundamental unit of change of the universe, which is the quantum. In the previous session, you explained how the spectral changes of the atoms and the chromatic changes of the cells are all related. And in this session, quite surprisingly, but from the perspective of tetrionics, quite logically, the difference between cycles and spirals in a way disappears. And I find it very funny because when we were at the start of the session, I was looking at, okay, so how is this going to work to connect the spirals and the circles? And as so often in tetrionics, no, there is no need to connect them. They are basically the same, just looked at from a different perspective. And as you showed, and thanks for the visual addition after the collapse of the communication line, people can see how they can build it for themselves and then actually grasp literally with their hands, with their fingers, that it is about changing the perspective, the way you hold it, the way you put it together, the way you link it up. And so that's where we have now shown that health and disease, being the spirals and the cycles, or the expanding and the contraction on the one hand and the maintenance on the other hand, are very logically related. In mathematics, there is a very different view on health and healthcare than is done in medicine, because in medicine they have no definition for health. There are some people who still say that health is the absence of disease. The opposite is the case. Health is the continuity of coherence of the cell divisions, which are based on cell division decisions. So it all starts with one cell which divides again and again using atomic physics, and going from a physical structure to a chemical change to a electromagnetic atomic reorganization. So all of the atoms work with all of the cells work with atomic physics, but that has now been connected to what is described in tetrionics as the energy spectral changes of tetrionics in the way that we can now see also that the atomic spectral changes and the molecular energy changes are the same. What happens in the atom at the level of the light happens in the molecule at the level of sound, so certainly in the cell. We can see that the cell cycles are now getting closer to what we try to model in mathematics as sound waves, sound circles, sound cycles. But all that now falls in place. We can actually see that health is based on the principle of adaptation, cell division, let's call that. That's where it starts. So the cell division, you go from one cell to two cells to three to five to eight. If you have the golden mean ratio from one to two to four to eight, if you follow the geometric ratio. But that is what now is expressible in terms of the geometries of tetrionics. So the expansion of the cells is the expanding geometries, and it's very wonderful that you brought in this page of learning how to count of tetrionics, because it is at that level that we can then see that the cell division decisions are like a computational grid, but it's also like a computational network. The cells in dividing, connecting up, form a larger system in the same way that one quantum forms a field. So we are starting to get much closer to that bridging of the gap between healthcare and mathematics. And as tetrionics makes it possible, you then see that it's much easier if you don't use the mathematics but use the geometry. And then we see that the cell division decisions and the quanta building up to form fields are actually the same principle. And what happens at the atomic level with the spectra, and what happens at the cell level with the sound spectra or the sound scales can now be connected. So it's really wonderful, Kelvin, how first I had this question, okay, but then how does this circle and the spiral connect? And in fact, it is the same, but you need to see that we are always working with quanta and quantile changes.
You have to do a bit of a trick like mm-hmm. Newton did. Prior to Newton, everybody was thinking about constant force and or about energy. And he said, no, that what you've really got to look at is changing momenta. And look at the vector forces, acceleration. And that's what brought calculus into the fields of mathematics. And when you look at all the problems with physics, all the different fields that have emerged, they're all 99% of the time, they're just describing a different perspective of the same thing. Whether it's scalar energy or linear momentum, the square root, or whether you're talking electric or magnetic fields, bosons and photons, transverse masses versus longitudinal masses, they're the same thing in the same field, just looked at it in a different way. The color coding helps emphasize the different patterns that you can create and see. And that's where the power is, because you can do it mathematically, but the math gives you no picture to view. And everybody develops their own ideas, their own perspective of what's happening. And that's what creates the confusion. Whereas the geometry says, this is it. You can't deviate from it. This is the pattern you're looking at.
Yeah, and in that way you've now connected health and quantum change very directly. Health is based on the continuous adaptation of the cells, and physics is based on the fundamental unit of change, a quantum. So that's where basically my quest for finding a way to help understand health in a better way than as described in healthcare is now brought to a very much deeper level. I was looking for an equivalent between health in the body and music, for the simple reason that cell communication is based on cell cycles. Music is based on notes, which are also frequencies. So from cells to cell cycles to frequencies, from frequencies to the rhythms to mathematics, there is a direct bridge which now has been made much more explicit by actually building it all the way through to the quantum, which means that it is possible to describe health. It is possible to show that health is the consequence of the adaptation in balance, as you say in tetrionics. The universal coherence is based on this continued balance of opposites, of polarities. And that is what we also see in cells. When they divide, they basically turn inside out. So the cell and the divided cell are actually polar opposites. And that's also why I see that that's where we experience freedom of choice. When the cell divides, it goes from the physical to the chemical to the atomic, to the level of phase, pure consciousness, let's call it that, then it bounces back there and it comes back, but that cell that comes out has been turned inside out by what Lawrence Edwards would describe as the vortex dynamic. So when you turn a cell inside out, the cell before and the cell after are opposites of each other.
Yeah.
In tetrionics, that would be the tetrion and the anti-tetrion, which are basically turn a tetrion inside out, and then the charges which were seen on the outside now are on the inside, and vice versa. because that's how the cell actually turns inside out. That means that the cell before and the cell after are polar opposites, and that, of course, in tetrionics is seen in the way that the charge of the one side and the charge on the other side of the equilateral triangle is always connected. Which would bring me to an exploration . Hi Calvin, we just had a drop of the communication line again. We'll have a pause in the recording here while the connection between Europe and Australia still has to build itself up again. Maybe this is a good point to just close off this recording and then come to the conclusion in a last separate bit, which will then address what can we do next.